Let's please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And for the sake of this audio, any reference made to Mike is our brother, Mike Walsh, who went to go be with Jesus 3 days ago on Sunday, directly after church, even here at church. And I do want everybody to know that there is absolutely no glorification of the man. Mike would tell you himself, he was an old wretch, and he prayed many times, Lord, if you can use this old body and these old broken lips, please use them to further the gospel and to bring people to the Lord. And so while we don't glorify the man, we do and can use him as an example, and we will use him as an example. Just like any other disciple and apostle, they were all wretches, they were all sinners, and all kinds of other people that have went before us that we can look to as examples, that we can look to for the great spiritual gifts and qualities that they all had, and so that they can be an example to us, so that they can build us up and edify us and exhort us. So Timothy, or Paul, is writing this letter, this epistle, to his son in the faith, Timothy. He's in prison for the second time, and Paul knows that he's going to die. He knows that he's going to be poured out as a drink offering. And while I prepared for this study, I definitely had Mike on the brain the whole time. And a lot of this Mike would say. And so it's become very apparent to me the ways that Mike and Paul were very similar. Paul didn't come in excellence of speech. Mike didn't have excellence of speech. Okay, he was very rough around the edges, and he used few words to get a heavy point across all the time. And Paul does the same in a lot of ways. Paul was sold out to the gospel. Absolutely sold out to Jesus. Mike was also sold out to Jesus. Didn't care about this world. He only wanted to go home and be with Jesus. And he knew that while he was here, his only mission in life was to share the love of Jesus with everyone else, share the gospel with everyone else, as many as would listen. And that's exactly what he did. To baristas at coffee stands, to waitresses at diners, to people on the street, it didn't matter. And so, last week, just a quick review here, Paul is exhorting Timothy, do not be ashamed of my chain. Do not be ashamed of why I am in this Roman prison. Because the very reason that I'm in this Roman prison is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also learned last week that Paul is a prisoner of Jesus, not Nero. And he knows that. And he made it quite clear. Hold fast. Paul is exhorting Timothy, his young son in the faith. Hold fast to what? Your holy calling. Once you've bowed the knee, once you've come to the Lord, once you have salvation in Jesus, your life has now changed. You now have a holy calling. You are to have power, love, and a sound mind, all which are given to you freely by the Holy Spirit. We don't always walk in it. Sometimes we let our flesh get in the way. But the Holy Spirit draws us back every time, each and every time. And the sooner we learn to get out of our own way, the better off we are. Paul exhorted Timothy to hold fast to the testimony that he had, the testimony of the gospel. Again, don't be ashamed of the gospel. So Paul's fight and battle is ending. He knows it's coming to an end. And he's instructing and strengthening Timothy in the gospel. So with chapter 2, verse 1 here, it says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And again, I just want to make mention, I just want to remind everyone, you know, it's like every time you read this, it could be Mike saying all of this. There wasn't much here that he wouldn't have said. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That first verse right there is so powerful. It really is. Extremely powerful. Because where do we find our strength? We find it in the grace that only belongs to Jesus. Our own strength is always failing and weak. That's what it is. Our own strength is always failing and weak. Countless times our strength fails. When we try to live in our own strength, it fails, even for the most trivial reasons. I know all of you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has failed in their strength for the most ridiculous reasons that you can think of, the most trivial reasons. And it really lets you know how weak you are in your own strength. And it is only through the strength of Christ. And in what we'll read here, what we'll learn here, is it's in our weakness is when the strength of Christ is exemplified, is when it's amplified, it's when it's in our weakness. There's a reason that Jesus told us to cast our cares upon him, is because so many times in life we have these overwhelming situations and circumstances that happen to us. Overwhelming. And there's absolutely no way you're going to get through it without Jesus. Why is it so hard to cast our cares upon him? It is so difficult so many times in so many different ways. I know I have a hard time with it. It's just not what we would want to do naturally. And so, again, that's why Paul is always telling us to learn to walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk in the natural man. Don't walk in the carnal man. Walk in the flesh, or walk in the Spirit, rather. And the more that we walk in the Spirit, the easier it does get, year by year, day by day, month by month, year by year. You learn to walk in the Spirit. And then you learn to cast your cares upon him. His grace gives us all the strength we need if we abide in him. John 15, such a beautiful chapter. If we abide in Jesus, we will have all the strength we need through his grace. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Strong word there is commit. It's such an important thing for a man in leadership, in a fellowship, at a church, to remain diligent in keeping the leadership under him faithful. It's so important for that leader, that pastor, that shepherd, that elder, to recruit others who he sees has the quality of gifts in the Spirit. That's what Paul sees in Timothy. That's why Paul is putting all of his eggs in one basket, so to speak, here with Timothy. Okay, there's a lot of people that have left Paul at this point. Many have strayed from the faith. But Paul sees something so special in Timothy. And likewise, that's what a pastor, a leader, a shepherd, an elder, someone who is overseeing a church, someone who is overseeing the body of Christ, to make sure to be diligent that those who he puts under him, that those who he puts in leadership, has those qualities that can only be given by the Spirit. Gifts is what they are. He has to be ever so careful to not compromise the body of Christ in leadership. For the sake of any unspiritual, faithless, or fleshly endeavor. And we see that all the time, don't we? The churches in America have been suffering from that for decades. So many people in leadership, so many men in leadership, so many people in leadership, so many people in high places that you know just shouldn't be there. Lots of compromises have been made in the church. Too many to count. And we definitely suffer from it. The modern church has really become a laughingstock, and we are so thankful for the nuggets that are still out there. Jan Markell gets calls, those of you that listen to Jan Markell, she gets calls all the time. Where can I find a Bible-believing church? Where can I go to a church where I can actually hear the Word of God, where I can actually hear sound Bible teaching? No butterflies, no shiny objects. I don't need a concert on the stage. I don't need any of that. All I want is the sound teaching. All I want is a Bible teaching pastor. All I want is a fellowship that is the real deal in the Lord. And she can't ever find anybody, a church. They're so few and far between. And I'll say it again, everyone, please don't take this church for granted. Really. And I know none of you guys do. You're here on Wednesday night. But just don't take this church for granted. It's so special. Anytime I go on vacation, I'll usually visit another church. Usually it's another Calvary Chapel, but sometimes not. And I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for our fellowship. I'm so thankful for our pastor, and I'm so thankful for the teaching that we do get here. Very, very important. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Such a strong statement Paul makes to Timothy here. Here we are promised that if we are going to be a good soldier for Jesus, we will endure hardship. And I want to make clear that this, he didn't say experience hardship. He said endure hardship, and there is a difference. There is a difference between experiencing hardship and enduring hardship. And we are to endure this hardship. Paul is certainly enduring this hardship as he writes Timothy this letter. That's what he's doing, is enduring hardship for the gospel. So we as disciples and followers of Jesus are always being warned in Scripture of what our lives should look like when we're sold out for Jesus. All right, it's actually a warning and an expectation. The reality of the life of one sold out for Jesus, it should look far different than what the world would have it look like. I'm going to read some different scripture here to you regarding the hardship that the Christian man, that the Christian woman endures as they walk in the Lord. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read these to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, this is Paul, as you know. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That is a lot right there. That is a lot. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am strong. Enduring the hardship makes us strong in the Lord. That's what it does to us. Just like suffering brings wisdom. All right, when the Lord has you suffering, it brings wisdom to you. When the Lord is bringing you through a hardship, it gives you strength in Him. You decrease, He increases. Romans says, rejoice in hope and be patient in affliction. John 16:33, most people know this. It's a beautiful truth. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So no matter what tribulation, no matter what trial, no matter what affliction, no matter what hardship that you must endure as you walk in this world before you go home or before we are called up, it is for the glory of Jesus. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So Paul is using the natural understanding of a soldier for war and battle to illustrate the same concept that we now have in our spiritual war and battle. And this is done quite a bit through Scripture. You know, they use a natural illustration to hit home on the spiritual application. I'm going to read to you Luke chapter 18 here. And now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. You can just picture him saying that. All these things I have kept from my youth. Chest puffed out. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, he said, sell all he has and distribute to the poor. That wasn't even the main thing. But it was to Jesus, it was the main thing to hit to the rich young ruler. But that was not the main thing. The main thing to Jesus was what? Follow me. That's what Jesus was after. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. Again, you guys, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We don't want to have the entanglements of this life bringing us down. What a freedom we have in Jesus when we are able to remove all of that from our life. Nobody said it's easy, and nobody says it's complete. But once we start understanding and coming to the realization that all of that, we need to start breaking that down, the entanglements that this world has on us, to start ripping that away, then we can start exploring the freedom that we have in Jesus, and it is so wonderful. It also says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Okay? No entanglements. We've been enlisted. If you've bowed the knee to Jesus, if you're sitting here tonight and you've bowed the knee to Jesus, you have been enlisted by the righteous commander. And he's the new commander of your life. And you are out there to, just like in war, nothing matters but pleasing that commander. Whatever his idea for you is, whatever his design for you is, whatever his battle plan for you is, that's the only thing that you care about, is pleasing that commander. And that's exactly what we want to do with Jesus. Now, the acknowledgement of this, and even more so the understanding of it, because first we have to acknowledge it, and then we have to start to understand it. This is part of being sanctified and transformed in our own lives. It's a sanctification process. It normally doesn't happen all at once. The process of being sanctified, it's such a spiritual thing. But you guys know as well as I do that The longer you walk, the more you walk, the more spiritually minded you are, the more sanctified you become, the more transformed you become to the life of Christ. The person who doesn't know Jesus is entangled in the affairs of this world. We see it all around us. And could you imagine being entangled in the affairs of this world right now? Could you imagine not having Jesus? Seriously, think about it. I was meditating on this earlier today. If you don't have Jesus and you are entangled in the affairs of this world, what an insane position to be in. Truly, truly insanity. We have literally come to the point of insanity where we don't know what to call a boy, we don't know what to call a girl, they pronouns and all of these just insane things. What an entanglement to be caught up in. I couldn't imagine. So please be praying for the young ones. Please be praying for the young ones. Those of us who have now been made pilgrims and who now have citizenship elsewhere, we have our eyes on a new prize, right? We understand our pilgrimage. And through that sanctification process, I pray that we would understand that pilgrimage more and more each day. We have a new world that we begin to develop a new affection for, right? And I can't wait. We talk about heaven all the time. We really do. And it just lets you know, when you have Jesus on the mind all the time, when you have heaven on the mind all the time, selfishly speaking, when you think about a new body all the time, and that's okay too, because it is being heavenly minded, you know you're in good company. And so it's become a bit abrasive to me when I spend so much time in fellowship with like-minded believers, and those are the discussions that we're having. It's always about Jesus. It's always about heaven. It's always about spiritual things. Then you end up a night with some family members that have nothing to do with Jesus, and they have nothing to do with spiritual things, and you feel so out of place. You know, I know I do. I feel so out of place, and it's like, what are we even talking about here? I mean, you know, you don't want to have this holier-than-thou attitude, but it's like, you guys, what are we even talking about here? You guys, it's boring. We come to the realization, you guys, we now store up treasures in a world that doesn't disintegrate, right? It doesn't rust out. Thieves can't break in and steal. That's the world that we are storing treasures in. So let's just remember the one who enlisted us, okay? Just like Paul is telling Timothy here, remember the one who enlisted you. You are now a soldier for Christ. You are now going to endure hardships. Verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Last week I was hitting home on passing that baton, and that's exactly what Paul is doing with Timothy right here. He's passing that baton on to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, if you're going to compete in this game, you must play by the rules. And what are the rules? Well, the rules are the rules of salvation. That's what the rules are. We come to Jesus one way. We come to Him through His gospel, and it's the only way to Him. Those are the rules that we have to play by. If you don't play by those rules, you lose. And so, if we play by those rules and we run the race, we obtain an imperishable crown, a crown that is everlasting. That's our trophy. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. We sow, we plant, and we harvest for the hope that we have in Him and His kingdom. Again, Paul is using these natural illustrations to edify and exhort to his faithful son. Remember that Jesus Christ, The seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So what Paul's doing here, he's going back to the basics. He's reminding Timothy of the basics. And didn't Paul, like Mike, keep the gospel so simple? They just keep it so simple. And there's power in that. When we start to muddy up the gospel trying to use fancy words and trying to using the intellect of our mind, we mess it up. We mess it up. And so let's just keep the gospel simple because there's power in it. Paul's reminding Timothy that Jesus is the seed of David. Remember, Timothy, this is the seed of David. This is the Messiah. He is the one that was foretold in all of our scriptures. He is the one who was actually raised from the dead, proving that he defeated death, and that in him we have everlasting glory. These are the simple truths of the gospel. Don't lose hold of that, Timothy. And the other thing I want to point out here is, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul is taking ownership of this gospel. He makes it a part of him. He makes this gospel message a part of him. It's become ingrained in his vocabulary. It's become part of his heart. It's become part of his mind, this gospel message. And this is a heart check for every single one of us. When you put your feet on the floor in the morning, you know, you go through a series of heart checks. I should be doing it more. I know that. But it is important to go through a series of heart checks. And one of those can be, is this my gospel? Is this my gospel that I'm owning and so that I can share it with others around me so that it becomes a deep, integrated part of my spiritual being and who I am? Definitely something we can be checking ourselves over and asking ourselves all the time. For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Yeah, Paul's the evildoer. Nero made sure of that. Even to the point of chains. But, and I have this bolded and underlined, but the word of God is not chained. Isn't that beautiful? The word of God will never be chained. It will always stand. It will always be eternal and everlasting. And it stood the test of time thus far, and it will always stand. And I'd like to remind everybody that when they're sharing with people, and if they get into arguments with people, I think I shared this on Sunday, don't I believe, and this is how I feel, and this is I believe, don't do that. Put it on the Word of God. Remove yourself from the equation. Put it all on the Word of God, because it can carry it, and it'll carry it just wonderfully. In Romans, Paul tells us that he wants to present the Gentiles holy and acceptable to the Lord. When I was reading that just the other day, it meant so much to me. You know, he wants to present the Gentiles holy and acceptable to the Lord. He feels a responsibility for all the Gentiles that he's ministering to and that he's sharing with and that he's raising up in Jesus. And that's the same thing that we want to do in this church, is present ourselves holy and acceptable to Jesus in all that we do. So, shouldn't we strive to endure all things for the sake? Well, let me finish verse 10 here. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Again, so simple. I'm going to endure all things for the sake of Jesus so that all those who I come in contact with, all those who I share with, they can obtain, that they might obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And that kind of hits home to me, you know, when I've seen Mike share the gospel with certain people that I know they don't want to listen, they don't want to hear what he's saying. And Mike's telling them anyway, because he's an ambassador to this gospel and he doesn't care. And he's sharing that with them anyway, and it's uncomfortable. All right, to be plain and simple, it's an uncomfortable little moment. All right, they don't want to be listening to it, and he's telling them anyway. And I'm sure it's uncomfortable for him too, but he doesn't care. He's sharing anyway, that they might obtain the salvation in Jesus Christ. All right, planting seeds. Great example for all of us. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And I had this written out, Jane, before you even sent that email, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So when I read that, I thought that was pretty interesting. To live is Christ and to die is gain. He increases, we decrease. His strength is found in our weakness. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And so, like we taught on Sunday, if they reject you, it's Jesus they're rejecting. Don't take it personal, as hard as that may seem. Don't take it personal. They're rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting you. And he signs up, well, and then we'll end here with Paul letting us know if we deny him, he'll deny us. Actually, what we'll end up with here is if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And what a contrast there, isn't it? If we are faithless, he still remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. That's his nature. That's his God nature. And we get to benefit from that. And I just pray that everybody here continues to walk in the Lord. I pray that everybody here makes those heart checks in the morning. As soon as you put your feet on the floor, make a little list if you have to right next to your bedside. Go through those heart checks. Pray. Trust me, these are things that I need to do also more. And start our days off right. Start our days off right so that we can get suited up and built up spiritually, so we're not walking in the flesh, so we're not starting our day off in the flesh, and we're starting it off spiritually, and so that spirit can endure as the day goes on. Amen? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for this letter that Paul is writing to his faithful son Timothy. We thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, and we are not ashamed of this gospel. We understand, Lord, that to truly live for you, to truly have this gospel message be our essence, that we are going to endure hardships. And not just experience them, Lord, but endure them. Endure the hardship. This is the life that we now have in you. And what that hardship does for us, Lord, is it builds us up. It edifies us in you. And we're thankful for it, is really what we are. As painful as it may be sometimes, we are very thankful for it. And we know that you've enlisted us, Jesus. You are the one. And we're here to please you. This is the battlefield that you've placed us in, that we may bring others to you. The harvest out there is ready. We plant, we sow, and we just want to bring people to you, Lord, so that the last knee may bow and we can all go home. We say this in your holy name. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand and sing out to the Lord. Strength of my life, dovetail what Dustin says, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.
Oh.
That is something we can do every day. Like I said, when you put your feet on the floor every morning, you can ask Jesus, be the strength of my life today. And I just pray that all of you have walk in holiness and just have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.